Kevin is waiting to talk with you. Call 781-837-4900. Monday Night Talk with your host, Kevin Tachi, 95.9 WATD.
Welcome back to Monday Night Talk. We have moved to
a larger studio, courtesy of Ron Bersani and the Talk Information Center, and we want to thank Larry and Ryan for setting up our audio for tonight's first debate between the candidates who are hoping to be elected mayor in the city of Brockton. Joining us in studio is Mayor Linda Balzotti, who is seeking a third term, Ward 5 School Committee member Bill Carpenter, Ward 7 Councilor Chris McMillan, and community activist Ron Matta. We thank all of you for attending this forum, which we scheduled to let voters in your community get a better idea of where you each stand on a variety of issues. Just a quick bit of a housekeeping before we get underway this evening. Our prestigious panel is comprised of WATD Managing News Editor Christine James and WATD General News Reporter Charles Matheson, who will be putting questions on the issues to the candidates. I will serve as moderator and reserve the right to ask a question or two during the process. Now, my duties will be to be keeping time and observe the question order. Now, this is going to be a brief 60-minute forum. So it's going to be important for everybody involved to keep their responses to the point and limited to 60 seconds and a rebuttal to questions at 30 seconds. Now, please watch for my signal, which will be like this, to wrap it up. Of course, the folks at home can't see that, but if my panel here in front of me will know what it is. Now, if you go too long, we'll have to sound the dreaded bell, which Christine James is manning. Thank you. Now, for the folks at home, this is how the format will work for this evening. Now, we've already drawn numbers for the order of opening statements, who will get the first question, and closing statements. Now, after the opening statements, we start with the standard question and answer period, which the panel will be put through by questions that will each of our candidates will be asked to answer with the opportunity to rebut the question. That will go for about 20 minutes. We'll take a little bit of a brief break at the top of the hour, and we'll return with a special segment. It's called Draw a Card, where candidates will select cards that have questions on it. Charlie Matheson is manning the cards. They'll basically fan them out for someone to pull a card, and that candidate will read the question. Now, before we conclude this, depending on how long it takes for us, and I kind of set this up previously, is if the answers are quick enough, maybe we go for a second round to draw the card. If not, then each of you will have an opportunity to answer a question maybe that you heard that you feel that you want to give a response to, okay? Our final segment is the lightning round. This is where candidates are limited to answering a question with a yes or no, one or two sentences, or selecting a choice that has been provided. The forum will then conclude with closing statements. Now, before I begin, I'd like to address a small issue. Now, WATD has never provided questions to candidates who are running for office. While it's not our policy to do so, now it is disturbing that the rumor mill that there was questions I heard a couple of weeks ago that they were given to candidates that are participating in this forum. The funny thing is that the questions weren't even written until yesterday. So I want to make sure we put that out there first and foremost. I myself pride myself on being the fairest guy when it comes to putting on these forums and giving candidates an equal opportunity to talk about the issues. I hope that'll clear up any misconceptions now or in the future. Let's get things started. We have already drawn out of the official WATD cozy, and going first with their opening statement, I believe, is Mr. Ron Matta.
Thank you for having us tonight. I just want to say hello to the listeners and let them know that I am the only true outsider in this race. I'm not a career politician like these other candidates here tonight. I am not a city employee. I am a father and grandfather that cares deeply about the future of Brockton. I have been an advocate for the city for the past several years because I love our city and because I am fortunate enough to have the ability and financial independence from city coffers to do so. Let me just touch on my five-point action plan. Job creation. I will do this by fighting for lower taxes, attracting manufacturers to employ our residents. Secondly, I'm going to develop a succession plan for CFO John Condon. Third, I will give Rock Stadium to Brockton High and privatize the Shaw Center. Fourth, I will require Stonehill College to pay the standard sewerage rate. And last but not least, I will retain outside independent counsel and report back to the residents of Brockton on the Aquaria desalinization plant. Thank you.
Very good. I believe next up is Marilynda Belzotti.
Thank you, Kevin, Christine, Charlie, and everyone at WATD for hosting the forum. My name is Linda Belzotti, and I'm currently serving in my second two-year term as mayor of Brockton, and I'm running for re-election. I'm running to continue serving as mayor because I have a passion for leading our city. I'm a lifelong Brocktonian, went through our schools, graduated from Brockton High School, went off to Syracuse University, graduated, and came back to Brockton. And I came back because I love the city and its people. I'm running to continue serving as mayor because I have an experienced record of working to move Brockton forward. We have made progress in a number of areas over the past 4 years, prioritizing public safety, spearheading economic development initiatives, ensuring top-notch educational opportunities, and strengthening the quality of life in our neighborhoods. And we've done this work, and we've kept the city moving forward during some of the most challenging financial times in our history. But our work's not done. We still have more to do, and I look forward to continuing working together with residents and officials to ensure a brighter Brockton for all of our families.
Very good. I believe up is Mr. Bill Carpenter.
Well, good evening, everyone. And also, again, thank you to Kevin, Christine, Charlie, and all the folks here at WATD for providing this forum for the mayoral candidates tonight. For folks who don't know me, I'll tell you just a little bit quickly about myself. I'm a father of six children, grandfather, three grandchildren, three step-grandchildren, six children. We all live in the city of Brockton. My oldest of the five boys, Bill Jr., is a Brockton police officer. My youngest child, my only daughter, Delaney, just graduated from Brockton High School in June and is leaving next Friday for UMass Amherst. During my 27 years in the city, I've been involved in a lot of projects and works, including helping to build a Little League complex at the Downey Elementary School that includes the city's only handicap-accessible Little League field. I've enjoyed being the radio voice of Brockton Boxer Football for the past 17 years. I am completing my second term on the Brockton School Committee, where I've had an opportunity to work on the Plouffe Playground, DeMello Park, the Marciano Stadium renovation, the Marciano statue, and I've also helped to found the state's first Recovery High School Independence Academy.
Very good. Mr. McMillan.
Good evening. I want to thank WATD for hosting us tonight. My name is Chris McMillan. I've been 8 years city council for Ward 7. I'm a lifelong resident for the city of Brockton. I've been married to my wife, Caroline, for the past almost 26 years now. I have three children, ages 25, 22, and 14. And I'm very proud in my accomplishments as a ward counselor for Ward 7, which encompasses all of Westgate Mall and the north side of Brockton, of bringing in, helping revitalize the Westgate Mall, which brought in a market basket, the Buffalo Wild Wings, and Northeast Electric, and now with a new company coming in, is the Crown Uniforms and Linens. I've been working well. I work well with the other businesses to help create jobs, and small jobs, businesses such as JJ's Cafe on North Main Street. So with my experience of my ward of creating jobs and helping secure new companies that come into Brockton, which will increase the revenues, I feel my experience is well accomplished, and I will spread it out throughout the city of Brockton. Thank you, Kevin.
Very good. All right. We now move into our portion, the Q&A portion, just to reiterate. Everyone will have a chance to answer a question that is posed by the panel. Let us get through before you want to rebut anything that anybody has to say, okay? Can we do that? Very good. Christine James will be with the first question to Ron Matta.
Thank you. The question for candidates here. The city has seen an increase in violent crimes and experienced 7 homicides so far this year. What needs to be done or can be done to make the streets of Brockton safer?
Well, first of all, we have to put more police on the street. I have here Matt Carroll of the Globe staff. This was on August 2nd, 2012. The communities and how much money they spend for each resident, for each police officer, and Brockton is last on the list. We spend $177 per resident for police. New Bedford spends $225. Worcester spends $214. We spend $176. We need to put more money and get more police on the streets.
Thank you. Who's next on the order, Kevin?
I believe next is Bill Carpenter.
Same question?
Same question,
okay.
Please.
All right, great. Over this past week, I had a chance to review a report that came out in June listing the 100 most dangerous places to live in the United States. Brockton ranked 41st nationally, number 2 in Massachusetts. Out of the 351 cities and towns in Massachusetts, only Chelsea has a higher crime rate than the city of Brockton right now. Clearly, we have to make changes. I would endorse, we cannot any longer tolerate the streets of the city being flooded with drugs and illegal guns. I agree with Mr. Matta that we do need to invest more money, and I have a plan to bring revenue into the city, and we'll use that money to stop raising taxes and to put more boots on the street. I believe we need a neighborhood multi-agency approach, some real community policing, and I also endorse using the counterinsurgency techniques that have recently been employed in Springfield with great success.
Okay. Same question. Two, is it for Chris McMillan?
Chris
Or is it Linda Belzotti? Oh, Mayor Belzotti. Same question.
No, I'm four.
Oh, the question. Four. Sorry.
Okay. That's
yeah,
all right.
You're up. Chris McMillan is up next.
Okay.
Yeah. Increased crime. I would increase the police officers on, especially the impact shifts, which are basically from 7 to 3 a.m., 7 p.m. to 3 p.m. I would make sure that the police are a little more aggressive in pulling over illegal, you know, cars with lights out and so on, just to check and make sure. We need to increase our technology such as a shot spotter. We only have one right now. That would detect any type of gunfire in the city. And also the community patrols, the walking patrols, I would expand on that, too. That's all.
Okay. Same question, Mayor. Linda Belzotti.
Well, I can tell you what we have been doing. We do have 12 East police officers that are about to graduate from the academy that will come back on the street. We will be adding some additional manpower to the gang squad as a result of that. We will be in the process of hiring 4 additional officers after that. We have developed a zero tolerance approach. We have had upwards of 8 to 10 drug and gun sweeps in the city over the last several years. We continue to work with local, state, and federal law enforcement to address issues on the street. We began new walking and foot patrols that have been funded in downtown Montello and Campello. We continue to upgrade our technology. We have purchased new cruisers. But in addition to all of that work, we are also doing preventative work, utilizing state funding to work with our most at-risk youth. And we continue to do that because that's another element in addressing public safety.
Thank you.
All right. Next up, getting a question. Charles, of course, is going to be putting it. I believe Bill Carpenter.
Do we have a rebuttal?
Yeah.
Do you have a rebuttal?
Yeah. Bill, you can go.
Either way.
Well, first of all, there's actually 13 new police officers. One's already on duty because he was a school police officer. But those 12 in the academy will not increase the amount of police officers we have in the department. They're just going to they're taking over for the retirees. So I would. As a mayor, I would actually increase the police officers and try to. We can't keep on going on with 186 police officers with a city this size. Thank you.
Okay. Mr. Carpenter, you're next.
Yeah, I was going to make the same point Chris made. We've been level staffed on the police. Correct. These are replacement officers. We're 186, 187 has been our manpower for quite some time. Also in the ranking of the 100 most dangerous places to live, when Mayor Belzotti took office, Brockton was ranked 58th. This year's report, we're all the way up to 41st. So whatever it is we're doing, it's not effective.
Okay.
Well,
Mayor, go ahead, please rebut.
I disagree. That I believe we have been worked very hard. We have done sweeps that have never been done before. We continue to do that. And in terms of these being replacement officers, they may be replacement officers, but in the past, there were officers that were not even replaced as a result of retirement. So we are doing that. And so we are at least keeping the numbers up. There was a time that the numbers actually slipped down.
Ryan, would you like to rebut, sir?
Yes. In order for Brockton to have a full police force, we need 250 officers. I had a man in law enforcement tell me if we had 40 more officers, we could put a dent in the crime. If we had 70 more officers, we could win the war. We can't do it with less than 250 police officers, and we need to find the money to do it. We have the money to do it. I don't know why we're not, but we need a full police force of 250.
Do you have a further rebut, Mr. McMillan?
Yes. As far as replacing officers, we have to keep a minimum of 186 because we would lose cops grant, which is nine officers are on that. So if we went below 186, we would lose nine more officers. So it's essential for us to keep it in the budget because we have to keep it in the budget. So replacing those ones that are retiring, it's not because we want to do it. I mean, we do want to do it, but it's not because they want to do it as a good gesture. They have to because they'll lose nine more officers. Thank you.
Okay. Anybody have any further rebuttal? Anybody?
Okay. We'll move on to the next question. Charles Matheson will give the question, I believe, Mr. Bill Carpenter will be up for the first question. Charles?
Hey, Brockton has a long history, a long wet history with water. Since the 1890s, water has been an issue. Currently, Brockton pays $6 million annually for the exclusive rights to water from the Aquaria desalination plant in Dighton, and it doesn't use it. What could be done to alleviate the city from this financial burden, and would you support the purchase of the diesel plant or considering hiring a company to help market the water to recoup what the city spends annually?
Bill, first. It's hard to give a one-minute answer to that boondoggle, but let me try. All right. Yes, I would support the purchase of the plant and bringing in a marketing expert. My opinion in this differs sharply from the mayor's. I believe there are sections of their current contract that can be challenged. Aquaria's lack of aggressive marketing of the water as promised in the contract, their failure to spend $250,000 in the first 3 years of operation. That plant, despite almost $12 million from Brockton in the past 2 years, still lost over $2 million, about $2.6 million they lost, even with Brockton's $12 million. The mayor was quoted in the Enterprise as saying when she referred to the contract, she said, it is what it is. I'm not willing to accept that. I will aggressively challenge the contract, and I will enter into negotiations to attempt to negotiate a favorable purchase so that we can package water and our increased sewer capacity together and bring millions of dollars of revenue into the city.
And you want to link that to the power plant?
I think that a third piece of the puzzle is that if we could reach an agreement with the developers of the electric plant that's in the best interest of the residents of the city of Brockton, clearly the power plant, the electric generating plant, gas-fired, requires 2 million gallons of water per day. At our current block rate, that's over a $3 million per year purchase of water. Yes, the creation of the electric plant can be part of the solution, a part of the solution to the $6 million annual loss on water.
I believe up next will be Chris McMillan. Well, no, because we're still... You'll get a chance to answer both questions that Charlie threw at you, he threw at Mr. Carpenter. Chris McMillan.
Yes, this contract was one of the worst ones we entered into, but we were actually forced by the state to enter a contract. But as a mayor, I would make sure that we do go over the clauses with a fine-tooth comb. I believe also that there is room to get out of this clause, using the clauses for underperformance, such as the water amount that is necessary that they can bring into the system within 24 hours. I don't think they can handle the water. If we ask for $3 million a day for the next month, I don't think that river could hold it. They could do so. So that would be one clause we could get out of that contract with. So as your mayor, I would absolutely go in, and I would not purchase it, first of all, because it's not a good product. They want over $100 million right now. So it's not a good product for us. That would mean another bond. We have pull bond. People are going to be paying for it. So I would not be in favor of that. But to go into it, look at the clauses, definitely, to get out of the contract.
Okay. All right. Up next will be, I believe, Melinda Balzotti. You're up next.
So the city has had the contract looked at twice, both by our internal solicitor's office and then externally by a top municipal law firm, Blattman, Brabowski, and Mead. They are one of the top companies providing and specializing in municipal and contract law. They have told us that they agree and concur with the solicitor's opinion, which is that it is virtually ironclad and it would be almost impossible to break. Would I be interested or would I be willing to purchase it? I would only be willing to purchase it in the event that it saved the ratepayers money, as right now the price that they would want for the plant would not provide any relief to the taxpayers. So unless it provides relief to the taxpayers, it would not be a worthwhile purchase. In terms of the city spending money to market the plant, I think that everybody's just spoken about how much they want public safety and other things. So to spend additional money marketing the plant, I don't think would be in the best interest right now.
Okay. Mr. Matta.
If I'm elected, I'll ask a query to produce 3 million gallons of water per day for 5 days upon taking office to ensure that they can meet the contractual demand. I'll also hire an outside independent watchdog law firm, an outside accounting firm, to ensure that the plant was built to spec, and to look at several points of the Aquaria contract so that we can begin to discuss potential past breaches of the contract. The contract is ambiguous at best. I asked a law student to ask two constitutional law professors to look at this contract. One of them is considered the preeminent law constitutional lawyer in the country, and both of them said the contract is unconstitutional. Now, when they said, when the law student who did this as a favor to me, told the professors that there were two attorneys on the council and one city council, city solicitor said it was ironclad, they both said, tell them to go back to law school.
Okay. Do we have any rebuttal on this? Mr. Carpenter will go first.
Two quick points. First of all, this contract that everyone is complaining about was approved by Mayor Balzotti when she was a city councilor. She voted in favor of this contract. Secondly, I do believe that the contract has language. There are two key failures to perform by Aquaria Water LLC, and there are provisions in the contract that allows the city to seek relief. If we're litigating and seeking relief, we devalue the contract. The contract is the only asset that plant has. We devalue the contract, we devalue the plant, and position ourselves for a good negotiating position.
Rebuttal, Mayor?
Yes. Yes, I was on the council when this contract was voted upon, and it was voted upon and this choice was selected because of the three choices available. It was the only choice that the public was willing to entertain at that time. The costs were all at the time taken on by the company after years of the city putting out money to find an alternate water source. The state had told us that we would be under a water moratorium unless we found additional water. Much of the growth that's taken place in the city in the last 10 years would not have taken place without this plant. Believe me, we know every inch of that contract, so we know if we could break it at this time or not.
Okay. Further rebuttal, Mr. McMillan.
As the contract, one of the clauses, we asked the Aquaria to come in front of us, which they did, and we asked them for show proof that they did market it correctly. They have not, to this day, come in front of us with any proof or any written proof that they have marketed that entity. That's part of the contract, is one of the clauses. We are, you know, we should be able to get out of that contract because of one of that clauses. That contract should be voided, period.
Okay. Mr. Matt, do you have anything for us?
Yes, I took two tours of that plant. The last time I went down, I was talking to the plant manager and Mr. Creedon, and I asked them if they could sell the water to maybe a town at a different price than they sell to Brockton. They said, no, everybody has to have the same deal. So that means if West Bridgewater, Norton, or any other city wants to buy that, they have to pay the $6.1 million a year. So they can try to market that all day long. They're never going to sell it because no one will pay the $6.1 million except Brockton.
One more. 15 seconds.
Okay, on the desal plant, if you're a city and you want to purchase that water town, you have to make sure that you don't have more than 10% leakage in your pipes. So a lot of these towns would have to go and redo all the systems, and it's not worth it. Plus, the water is twice as much as they're paying right now. That's a bad product.
Any further rebuttals? Okay. We will. Please, quickly.
To purchase this loser is beyond my comprehension. If you want to sell water to the power plant, what does Brockton do for its backup water system? The state said you cannot sell portable water to the power plant.
So, all right.
I need to repeat that.
Go ahead.
The power plant specs, the electric plant specs, call for about 2 million gallons a day of water. This plant can produce far in excess of that, the desal plant. We're not using a single penny of it right now. $6 million for water we don't need and don't use is a bad deal. Brockton today uses about 2 million gallons a day less of water than it did 10 years ago.
All right. And you, of course, are listening to a mayoral debate with the candidates seeking to be the next mayor of Brockton for the next 2 years. And I believe up, is it Mr. Matheson who's up, or is it Christine who's up? It's Christine. just want to make sure. Up, Mr. McMillan gets the first question.
Okay, and continuing along with this same train of thought, the proposed gas-fired power plant is again an issue in this year's city elections. What are your thoughts on the city continuing its fight against the project?
Yeah, I'm totally against this. I have been since I became councilor 8 years ago. The air quality index down in that area is extremely high, over the threshold that is allowed. So with added even a small amount of a plant, or that gas plant would add a lot more to the air quality. And I'm not, as a mayor, I would not impose that on the residents in that area. You know, they've already have two landfills. They have the UPS trucks down there. They have the sewer plant, which burns sludge for 24/7. They have also the first student buses down there, all the diesel. So I would not impose that in the health risk for the residents down there, along with the children at the Davis School and the seniors at the Campello High Rise. Thank you.
Linda Belzardi, you are next.
I have opposed the power plant. I continue to oppose the proposed power plant. I will continue to proceed as mayor to oppose the plant. I have been involved since the very beginning in terms of testifying against it at the energy siting boards, submitting testimony against it, going to the hearings. Ward 4 was where I initially got my start, was the Ward 4 councilor. I oppose it due to its environmental impact and the health risks associated with it, also because of the safety issues involved. In reference to the landfills that were just mentioned, I've had experience dealing with the state during the capping and closing of the Thatcher Street landfill, and I know the difficulties that can be involved and the difficulties in protecting residents. So in the best interest of the residents, I do oppose the plant.
Okay. Mr. Matter, your answer. Yeah,
I'm against the proposed section of the city. It's already overburdened with the landfill and the wastewater treatment facility, which burns sludge and puts a lot of pollution into that area. The area has extremely high asthma rates and is the home of schools and senior citizens. Economically, the plant doesn't make sense either, because it will provide very few jobs for Brocktonians and will likely drive the home values down. The power plant is date technologies and behind us. We should be investing in technology that is in front of us. Tesla Motors is proof of this. It is also poor use of the space. We should be looking to fill that space with manufacturers that will provide what offers the maximum return to our community and is desperate need in Brockton, that is jobs. We need jobs, not more tax money.
Mr. Carpenter.
Sure. I was originally opposed to the proposal 8 years ago. I have changed my position. I think it's important for folks today to take a fresh look at this in light of how badly the city of Brockton is continuing to lose in court with the developers of this plant. 6 decisions, 3 appeals now. Every single one of those 9 decisions has either been resolved or decided in favor of the developers of this plant. That's been at a cost of over $1 million in outside legal fees to go 0-9 in court. I believe it's more prudent to attempt to negotiate an agreement in the best interest of the residents of the city while we still have leverage to negotiate, continuing to play this all the way out to the end game, spending more and more money on out-of-town lawyers with Brockton residents' tax money to continue to lose in court does not make sense to me, in addition to the fact that there's a $68 million civil rights lawsuit pending against the city from the developers of the plant, and I invite people, they should read a copy of some of these decisions.
You are listening to 95.9 WATD, and this is a mayoral forum for folks hoping to be the next mayor in the city of Brockton. Is there a rebuttal on this, Mr. McMillan?
Thank you. The proposed power plant, the claim that it's going to bring in a ton of money, a ton of work for the union workers and such. I'm hearing over 750 jobs. I'm a sheet metal worker by trade. I now work down, I've been to the apprenticeship as Local 17. I worked down at, for disclosure, I worked at the wastewater treatment plant for Veolia Water of North America. There has never been, on my job sites, I worked on 75 State Street, there's never been over 750 workers there. It's only 100 or so, and that is a 36-story building. So to say it's going to bring money, and also, you don't think they're going to do an abatement or ask for an abatement on the taxes? You're crazy. They will, okay?
Mr. Matta, please.
We've talked about the power plant in Aquaria for 8 years. The residents in Brockton don't want it. The plant is a loser. We don't want to own it. The power plant will not be coming to Brockton under my watch.
Okay, Mr.
Mayor. For me, there's no price to put on people's lives and health.
I agree. And the same with me too. That's why I have visited 5 different gas-fired electric plants in eastern Massachusetts and taken a hard look at the areas around them and spoken to the neighbors. 2 quick rebuttals from my other candidates here. First of all, I'm glad that Chris mentioned the sheet metal workers Local 17 because they have formally endorsed my candidacy. And secondly, regarding abatements, the reality as to how this goes is there would be a pilot. There would be a negotiated payment in lieu of taxes. The tax and fee figure would be negotiated up front. You don't make the deal unless it's a good deal.
Okay. I think we should go with... Go ahead, Mr. Matta. You have one final rebuttal here?
I wish you would tell the people the truth. It's not just a gas-fired plant. You need diesel backup. So they will be burning diesel fuel, which will add a lot of pollution to that area.
Mr. Carver, do you want to respond?
The bonus was eliminated from the plans years ago. The approval from the Energy Siting Board is of a plan that does not have a diesel backup. Okay. And the reality, Ron, it doesn't need a backup. The reality is that there are many gas-fired plants around Massachusetts now that do not operate with diesel backups. The price of diesel is prohibitive compared to the price of natural gas. Diesel doesn't make business sense anymore.
Final word, Mr. Matta.
No, go ahead.
Just to touch base on the Local 17, I'm not going to be bought by a union. So the health and welfare of the people are more important to me than getting an endorsement from any unions. I have not even approached any of the unions for endorsement because they're backing this power plant.
Okay.
I don't care.
Just quickly, Mr. Batter.
Okay. I'm against it because I think we should put something in there that's going to provide jobs for the people. We need jobs.
Okay.
I agree, Mr. Matta. We need jobs, and we have a plan to bring businesses and jobs back to the city.
All right, let's move things right along. Mr. Matheson, we'll have the next question up first. Will be Melinda Belzotti.
The city has 2 projects in downtown Brockton that are converting the Knight Building and a portion of the Enterprise block into 240 apartments. How important is this part of is this in revitalizing the city center, and what do you feel needs to be done? I grew up in Brockton in the 50s and 60s, and I've been hearing about revitalizing the downtown for decades.
Well, the building that you refer to, the Knight Building, the Capstone Project, Station Lofts, if you're unaware, it's 25 units of housing, of which there were 600 applicants for the housing that they had to have a lottery. So we know that there is a desire and a market for people to reside in downtown. The Trinity Project is a $100 million 4-acre project on the Enterprise block. But it has not only residential, but commercial and retail as well. What you need to do to make a downtown successful is to put in a critical mass of people. So that's people living there, working there, hopefully someday attending classes there, so that those people can then support other businesses that would locate in downtown. If you take a look at downtown New Bedford, you see its success comes from UMass Dartmouth. Unfortunately, part of what happened to Brockton was a twofold effect. The mall located and many of the stores that were located in downtown went to the mall, and the high school left downtown, so a lot of the foot traffic left. But we're in the middle of rebuilding that, and both of those projects are a crucial part of it.
Okay. Ron Matta, you're up next.
Yes. This proposed Trinity Project, I'm wondering why we had to pay them $4 million to keep it going. Why are we always doing business with companies that can't get full financial backing? If this was such a great project and it was good and they needed $4 million more, a venture capitalist would have jumped all over it. I mean, to them, $4 million is like we're buying a cup of coffee. Some of the counselors I talked to are very skeptical of this. We don't need more apartments down there. We need things that are going to keep people downtown Brockton. We need to put businesses in there that will will keep people downtown Brockton. There's nothing there that keeps them now. The stores are opening, but they go to the store, they get in the car, and they drive away. We need something to keep them downtown. And I will have a hire a full-time city planner, and we'll work together with the businessmen to revitalize downtown Brockton.
Okay. Mr. Carpenter, you're up next.
Well, I guess a couple points. It's great to see the activity downtown. I believe the lottery, the mayor was referring, those were for below market rate units, right? That wasn't for all the units. It was for some units that were going to be offered at below market rate. That's why the big demand for those units. I think we need a lot more downtown than just rental apartments that I believe are going to turn into mostly Section 8 housing. And I don't think the revitalization of the downtown will be built around Section 8 housing. We need, as Ron said, we need to bring private investment in. I also believe we need to bring Main Street back to being two ways on Main Street. And I'm glad the mayor is looking at other downtowns of similar cities around the Commonwealth, because the ones I see, I think, all look better than Brockton.
Very good. Up next is Mr. Chris McMillan.
I do welcome the new buildings coming in to a certain point. I, too, am worried that these 215 apartments and these units will turn into eventually low income. We had a company come in and approach us years ago, which is Trinity, claiming that they had all the money in place. This past year, they gave... the city got an economic grant of $4 million. They turned it over to the Brockton 21st Century Corp, which then loaned it to the Trinity to help them out at a 0.01% for 30 years. That loan would be forgiven after 30 years if it's being used as the same as it started. But that economic growth grant, and it's a $12 million actually of going into the state for this company. That $4 million could have been done used for the growth, economic growth of the city downtown area, which is one of my plans, is to give some tax relief to the residents and the work and the companies down there. So I am worried about the Trinity project. I'm not sure if they have this, the funding right now, so that I'm very, very cautious about it.
You have any rebuttal?
Hold on.
Let's look.
I have a quick...
Okay. I just like to say that $4 million was a Mass Works grant. It was a grant linked towards development and revitalization, economic revitalization of downtown. That was part of it. It was not city revenue. It was not general fund revenue. It was from the state for that, for the Trinity project. Also, it's $100 million in investment that hasn't been seen in downtown for many years.
Okay, Mr. Carpenter, you're next, then Mr. McMillan.
In a quick comment on this whole market rate fallacy of these rental apartments, when a potential tenant shows up with a Section 8 voucher, Section 8 vouchers pay market rate. They sometimes pay more than market rate in Brockton. And when that potential tenant shows up with a Section 8 voucher in hand, the owners of the property have to rent them. Federal fair housing laws, you can't discriminate against someone just because they have a Section 8 voucher. And that's why it's my belief that those buildings will end up mostly with folks living there on Section 8 vouchers.
Okay. Mr. McMillan, you're next.
That $4 million grant was specifically wrote for that company by the city. So they reached out to the city. The city could have actually placed it somewhere else as a site. But they basically said, we're going to give it to the $4 million, which is actually $12 million they're asking for, to Trinity financing. So it was specifically written for Trinity only.
Mr. Matta, do you have a quick rebuttal?
Sure. I think the $4 million could have been used a lot better. I think it should have been used to fix the infrastructure around that area in downtown. We should make downtown two-way. I think that money could have been used much better. Like I say, we should have used it to fix the infrastructure around that area.
All I can say is that $4 million was specifically for that project. It could not have been used for road infrastructure. That's the way the state designed it.
Just remember, Charlie, if you ask him another question, you're cutting into the draw the card segment.
Okay.
I'm warning you now, so make it quick.
I have a quick follow-up. How can the city of Brockton plan for the future without a planner?
That's I can answer that.
Okay, Chris.
That's why we forced the mayor right now. We made the city council made an ordinance requiring a city planner. So they have to hire, the city actually has to hire a city planner now. So it's in the ordinance. So before it wasn't. And for years, we never had anyone guiding us. I only worked with the Brockton 21st Century Corp, which is a one-person entity. So it was extremely frustrating. But look at the work I've done in Ward 7. We brought in a lot of businesses. So, excuse me, Alice.
Okay. you want to say
something? Yeah, quick follow-up on that, sure. I think we're all pretty much agreed. You need an urban planner. I wouldn't have been in a rush to establish a permanent position at $136,000 a year to start.
We just set the rate.
You proved it, though, right? Council approved
okay.
the salary.
Okay.
You're on school committee. Yeah, but finish up your thought, right. please. And then you can go.
I still follow the news. I would have preferred to bring in a planner, at least for the first couple of years, in more of an outside consultant position. Could have been done for less money with no benefits. We would have had the opportunity to change planners along the way. Once you hire a permanent planner, if you're not satisfied with the job you're doing, good luck. I don't see very many department heads ever get moved in this administration.
Mayor?
I would just like to say that I worked very closely with the councilors who crafted that ordinance, and I don't feel I was forced at all. I feel it was a cooperative effort that we all understood that there was a need for a planner and an economic development person.
Ron?
I'm going to commission a force of local business owners to share ideas to stimulate growth throughout the city. But I plan on hiring a hands-on city planner to work with my office and the task force to begin to revitalize downtown Brockton. Okay. It's time we embrace ethnic diversity in our community and help them to invest in small businesses in our community.
Quickly.
I have proposed us establishing a Main Street manager position similar to what Menino has done in Boston. He started off with 10 of them. There are 19 of them now. A nationally recognized program that spurs economic development in business districts.
Anybody else? We set? All right. Now what we do is we move on to our pick a card. Charlie, of course, will be, as I say, I joke with him, he's kind of like our Price is Right person who will walk up with cards. There are questions on them. The candidate will read the question and then give an answer. There is no rebuttal. All you're doing is... Okay, and first up, who's Mr. Matter is going to be first to read his card.
Pick a card. I'll take pick a card.
The blue one.
Yeah.
Well, they're all blue.
Make sure you're not tipping your hands. Okay.
And mayor?
And the mayor, correct. 60 seconds to answer it. Ron, when you're ready, please read the question.
It's time to have the Brockton Rocks open their books for the city to see their finances. I believe that is the case, but my understanding is that when they signed the contract, they said that they didn't have to open their books. It's time that we gave the Brockton Rocks to the Brockton High School, and we privatized the Shaw Center. I believe that the cost is too much for the city. It's right now it's about $750,000 a year. They now pay the insurance for the Brockton Rocks. They pay the electricity for them. And they pay all the repairs. So I just think that it's time we get out of the baseball business. The city does not belong in the baseball business. It doesn't belong in any business. The city is not a venture capitalist. City government was formed for two reasons, to protect and to serve. And I think it's time we get out of the baseball business.
Okay. And just so folks, I know there were, folks may not have heard Ron say it, but it was, is it time to have the Brockton Rocks open their books for the city to see their finances? Just so any of the candidates here who want to answer that at the end of this segment that they can. And I believe...
So we don't all answer that question?
No, you have your own question that you're going
to
read. And you know what's funny, Mr. Carpenter?
I like this question.
You're next. Well, yeah, then keep that in mind when at the end of this.
All right, my question says, what is your understanding of the city's homeless issue, and what would you like to do if elected to help the situation? I think that we're all compassionate in helping people that are homeless. But I don't agree with some of the things we do in the city. I mean, Brockton has become a dumping ground for social service agencies. And I think that, you know, we have to do a better job of getting those services to those people and getting them off the streets and out of our business districts where they hurt businesses. The image of Brockton, someone panhandling for change in front of the Westgate Mall is not good for business. I would support a panhandling ordinance in the city. So I think that there are a lot of agencies doing a lot of good work in the city of Brockton to help alleviate the homeless situation. But I also do feel Brockton is burdened with more than their share of the problem because of the fact of all the nonprofits and social service agencies that locate in the city. Why don't we build a homeless shelter over in Easton? That's what I would suggest.
Okay. Very good. I believe up next is Mr. McMillan. If you could loud and clear read your question, please.
Massasoit Community College recently opened a satellite campus in Middleborough. The move that community
the community's downtown area is already being called a success. Do you think Brockton should explore something similar, similar venture to help revitalize its city of downtown corridor? Yeah, absolutely. This should have been done a long time ago, and we should. When I first became counselor 8 years ago, it was told to me that one of the colleges wanted to come in, but they wanted to have rent-free. I responded as, yes, what else? But why aren't they here? So I would actually set up something for the colleges, which is part of my plan, is the tax relief on downtown area for companies that are there right now or companies that want to invest. We have the money right now in the city's coffers, so we can do that. But absolutely, and I believe I spoke with the Massasoit. They're willing to come into downtown, but they're just waiting right now. They're trying to collaborate with the Bridgewater State University. But I definitely would go after that.
Very good. I believe up is Brockton Mayor Linda Balzotti. Please read your question loud and clear.
Is enough being done for the city's elderly population, and could more be done? I think that with all populations, homeless, elderly, there are always things that we would like to do more for and of. We have a terrific Council on Aging. They do a lot of work and offer programs and information for our senior population. The Brockton Housing Authority, in terms of their own housing component, tries to do as much as they can. They have issues with how the federal government has now determined what a disabled individual is, so that has changed the way their housing and livability is. But I think that we do a lot. The Old Colony Elderly Services, we have a lot of components in the city that we invest in and help with in terms of the seniors. But I think with all things, there's always room for improvement.
And now, the way this works is you each got a random question. So now each of you have an opportunity to answer the question that you wish you had gotten.
I said that well, didn't I?
Didn't I say that well? That is exactly what's going to happen. But I was actually thinking of throwing a curveball in there. The curveball would be you can answer one of your opponents, just like the Price is Right or Let's Make a Deal. You can either answer one of the questions that you heard, or you can pick another card. You get the same amount of time. You get 60 seconds. But you never know what you're going to get. You already heard some of the questions. So I believe I got the batting. Well, it's funny, Mr. Carpenter, you mentioned. You speak right up, because the way I'm keeping order, you would be the first one up.
Okay.
What would you like to do?
Well, I actually think all the questions were very good ones, and I'd love to comment on all of them. But I guess getting to the Ron's question regarding the Brockton Rocks and Campanelli Stadium.
Yep.
I think the biggest problem we have there, first of all, the stadium is losing money as it's currently operated. The problem is, in order for that venture to work, we need a first-class conference center and special events center that also happens to have a baseball team. They've tried to make this thing work as a baseball team that happens to have a conference center. We need operators in there that know how to run special events. We need a hotel to go with a first-class conference center. And the baseball team should just be one small part of what's going on there. Clearly, if you went to a Rocks game this year, that baseball team cannot even come close to covering the bills at that stadium.
Up next will be Chris McMillan. Chris was there. Now, remember, yes. There was a question here that you heard, or if you want to pick another card, Charlie has the cards.
I too, would love to answer all the questions, but I'm going to jump on to the elderly population. I think we should invest heavily into the elderly, especially the Council on Aging. They have extremely small budget down the Council on Aging. They're just squeaking by. I would absolutely increase it. You know, the seniors down there, they use it all the time. It's a beautiful place. I used to volunteer bingo down there. I was the chairman of the Friends of the Council on Aging. So I actually know that they absolutely in dire need of more money and to expand. So we have to actually try to find a place for them to expand, either up or somewhere else. So definitely would expand the money.
Mayor, you are up next.
There's no rebuttals on this round?
There's no rebuttals.
Right. I actually would like to take Councilor McMillan's question about the higher ed and downtown.
Yep.
It has been a long time in the making. The councilor is correct on that. We continue to have discussions with the state colleges. Unfortunately, as with all things, it's a budgetary issue, not just with the colleges, but with the state as well, that would have to provide some financing in order for them to do that. But if we were able to locate a higher ed component in downtown, it would add, again, to the critical mass and foot traffic you need in downtown to help support other businesses there. And it would be a key to downtown revitalization, and it's something that we feel is very important.
Okay. Mr. Matter, again, the just to re-
homeless.
You want to talk about the homeless?
What effect it has on the city.
Please.
I'm not against helping homeless people, but I think that we have to more or less take it away from downtown Brockton, because if you're going to revitalize downtown Brockton, having the homeless near the center of town, having the methadone clinics down there, is not going to help revitalizing downtown. We should have those on the outskirts of the town, away from the center, so that we can revitalize it. When you drive down Main Street and you see those people there, and I believe me, I'd love to help these people. I'm not against helping them, but I think that we should take the homeless shelters and put them on the edge of town as opposed to the center of town.
Okay. I want to say that you have all done an excellent job, and for your reward is the lightning round. And I know that it is my managing news editor's favorite part, because what it gets, it puts you guys all in a little box, and you can't give a long answer. It's a very cool segment that we do here in 95.9 WATD. And of course, we throw it to Christine James. And the first person to get a lightning round question is Chris McMillan. Ms. James, how does it work as far as the lightning round?
Well, same question for everybody, but give me the order, and it's either yes or no for your answer, which I find anyone who runs for office has trouble doing, or one or two sentences tops, and I'll tell you. And when I say one or two sentences, it's really one or two sentences. It's not a long run-on sentence with a bunch of commas. It's really get to the point, because if you talk too long, right. And I really will.
And don't break into song like we've had
yes,
a
couple people did that. I don't know why. Just inspired. No, they didn't. Just give me the order.
The order is Mr. McMillan, Ms. Okay. Balzotti, and then Ron Matter and okay. Bill Carpenter.
Okay. Please pick one answer that you think is best here. Has the Brockton 21st Century Corporation A, outlived its usefulness, B, yet to realize its potential, C, just another city agency that excels at wasting the taxpayers' money, or D, none of the above? Chris McMillan.
I would have to go with D right now. I understand that a lot of people around residents think they outlived itself, but we
sentence.
Actually need them.
One more sentence. It's a lightning round.
Lightning round. Quick.
Okay.
No.
Okay. Mayor Linda Balzotti.
B has yet to
realize its potential.
B, because I think when we have the planner and the economic development person in, you will see much more economic development.
Okay.
I'm going to stop everybody. Again, this is what happens. You don't get to give an explanation. If she gives you choices, you pick a choice, done. If she says a sentence or two, then you...
Okay.
Continue, please.
Yes. Same question. Would you like me to repeat the question?
Please.
Okay. Please pick one answer that you think fits best. Has the Brockton 21st Century Corporation A, outlived its usefulness, B, yet to realize its potential, C, just another city agency that excels at wasting the taxpayers' money, or D, none of the above? Ron Matta.
C, it's a total failure.
Okay. And Bill Carpenter, same question.
D, none of the above. I get everyone.
No.
You can have two sentences.
These two both went on for half.
You can have two sentences.
Please, quickly.
I don't have two.
I think that they can play a role in economic development, which I would have separate from the planner. I think planning and economic development
okay.
are separate roles.
Gotcha. Done. Thanks.
All right. We turn to, is it everybody here is the answer? Charlie? A lightning round question.
Main Street was two ways long, for years. It's now one way. Do you favor converting it back to two-way traffic, yes or no?
Yes.
That was a yes.
Yes.
Ron Matta.
Yes.
Bill Carpenter.
Yes.
Chris McMillan.
Absolutely.
Okay. Christine.
Okay, this is a yes or no question. Should the decision to allow a project like the power plant be a ballot question so the voters can ultimately decide its fate? It's a yes or no answer. Kevin, just need the order.
Ron Matta?
Yes.
Bill Carpenter?
I've always favored a ballot question.
Yes or no?
But it's the question's imperfect. Is it a binding referendum? It's not a binding referendum. I don't think it can be a binding referendum. Therefore, it's not going to change the legal outcome. I've advocated
yes
for
no.
a referendum. Yes, it should be on the ballot.
Okay.
8 years ago, it should have been on the ballot.
Did we miss anybody here?
Yes.
Mr. McMillan?
He wasn't in favor 8 years ago. Yes.
I was in favor of it being on the ballot.
Mayor Linda Belzotti?
Yes.
Okay. Charles, you have the last lightning round question, and then we go to final closing statements.
When I drive through downtown Brockton, I see a really diverse place. Is enough being done to educate the city's youth and its multiple cultures about the dangers of drug addiction? Yes or no?
Bill Carpenter?
No.
Chris McMillan?
No.
Linda Belzotti?
No.
Ron Matta?
No.
Very good. I want to thank you very much for completing this round. Now what we move into is the closing statements of this, the first mayoral debate. Folks, I hope folks get out and vote on September 17th because this is one of many important races in the city of Brockton. The way it works out, Chris McMillan, you are first up. You have 60 seconds of the closing statement.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, good evening. We need a mayor right now will bring in the common sense approach, and that's myself, Chris McMillan. I have this experience as a city councilor for the 8 years of Ward 7. If you go up to the Westgate Mall and Oak Street, you see all the businesses that I help bring in. I work well with the business, like I said, but we absolutely need someone to go into the city hall with a no-nonsense attitude and a common sense approach. So on September 17th, I ask for your vote. I'm number 2 on the ballot. Thank you.
Mr. Bill Carpenter, you are next.
Well, I would also like to thank Christine and Kevin and Charlie and everyone here at WATT for hosting the forum. For the folks listening, I am asking for your vote on September 17th. I believe it's time for change in the city of Brockton. It's time to get property values going back up and property taxes going back down. It's time to bring jobs and businesses back to the city. It's time to take back our neighborhoods and make it safe to walk the streets of our city once again. I believe we can do better. I have a blueprint for Brockton's future. I respectfully asked for your vote on September 17th because I believe it takes a carpenter to build a city.
Very good. Mayor Linda Belzotti, you are next.
Thank you, Kevin, Christine, Charlie, and to all the listeners and residents of Brockton who have tuned in to the forum. As I mentioned at the start of the evening, I'm running to continue serving as mayor because I have a passion for our city. I care about Brockton, and I've spent a large part of my life standing up for our city and standing up for the right reasons. We've stood up to work together to build a private-public partnership to bring a $100 million development to downtown, attracted new businesses like Market Basket, Crown Linen, and Bernardi Auto Group, and helped existing businesses like Evans Machine Company, Mattress Maker, and WB Mason continue to grow. We're standing together committed to strengthening public safety. We're investing in our infrastructure, in our schools, in our streets and roads, and we're making sure to continue investing in our kids and in our future. Brockton is making progress. It's progress that hasn't happened overnight. We still have more to do. It is this work for our community that makes it an honor and a privilege to serve every day as your mayor. I'm proudly asking for your continued support on Tuesday, September 17th.
And, of course, we wish you all the best of luck. We thank you for participating in this. But before we do, Mr. Matta, you're next. You're last. For some reason, I thought of you anyway. Ron, please go.
Again, thank you, Mr. Tarchi, for providing this forum. It is vital that the voters get a chance to hear all of our platforms. I know that my platform is the best for the city. I've had a great opportunity to outline my plan tonight, and voters will decide on September 17th, of which I hope you give me your vote. I've been working passionately for the residents of Brockton. I uncovered school corruption with George Bezra. I co-founded Brocktonians for Limited Taxation, and we fought against higher taxes at City Hall, which, by the way, none of my opponents showed up at these meetings except Mr. McMillan did jump to one. And we fought hard to keep taxes down. To view my plan, you can visit it at ronmatta.org. And residents, please feel free to email me at matter1@comcast.net as the residents of Brockton are the reason that I am running and your feedback keeps me going, working hard. Thank you very much.
Now I want to say thank you all for being here. We definitely wish you the best of luck, and we cannot close this out without saying what, Charlie? What do we want to say to folks as far as the voters?
Remember, if you don't vote, you don't have a voice.
Anything in closing, Christine?
No, thank you. That's what I usually say.
He, for some reason, is the alternate voice. He's the movie
voice.
We'll
have to draw numbers. I definitely want to thank you all. And folks, get out and vote September 17th. Your vote indeed does count. We're going to take a break. When we come back, more Monday Night Talk. Don't go anywhere.